Hi folks, I am Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix.
You find that everything's presented to you in this fake reality of ours. And by fake, I mean it's all presented to you. Even your conclusions are given to you so slickly. And it's not new at all. It's been done for an awful long time again. And it's quite simple. Bernays was involved in how to bring people into consensus. For instance, how to manipulate consensus and create consensus amongst the public, and consensus of opinions, desired opinions by those who basically rule. And Bernays wasn't dedicated to any particular country. He would sell his ideas to any country, and every country, including the communists too, in the Soviet Union, bloc countries and so on. But he also worked with a lot of administrations in the US government, and with different presidents coming and going. And he also had his own private, massive group, you might call them a massive group of propagandists or media manipulators and public relations companies. And he went so far, in fact, as to get the U.S. Army to go and rescue his client, one of his biggest clients, it was the American Fruit Company. He got him to go down into Latin America and overturn the elected government there. because they're going to jack. They might even have socialized the company, you see. And this American Fruit Corporation was a massive company, and they wanted to keep the workers' wages down. So he used the American military to go down there and claiming they were communists and got them to overthrow them. And then, but that's how it goes, isn't it? People get caught up in names and terms, and they don't realize that often you have the same characters running both sides of everything. That generally is what really happens. As I've said before, you've got to have at least two sides fighting it out, physically or verbally and politically, in order to get change. And the whole idea of Marxism, of course, is planned change. That's the Trotskyist attitude to the whole idea of reality, is planned, organized, and directed change that's created by strife. You create the strife to upset the apple cart of whatever state system there is, and you get the other side coming back, of course, try and defend it, and out of it you get compromise. That's your whole thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. So once you get the synthesis, that's the next step to take over and change to the next step again. So it's really what they call social evolution, being fast-tracked. In other words, what they think they could have gone to in the world in 100 years, they can do maybe in 30 years, even sooner if they can get a revolution going. And it's a whole bunch of ideas, a whole system, a whole way of living, of course, to be implemented once they have succeeded. There's a good documentary years ago put out, for instance, about the CIA's early involvement. In Africa, they were all over the world, overthrowing governments, just toppling them. And of course, the idea when you topple them is never to have folk, at least the media, mention who did it. You always throw it off and to blame somebody else. Or this upstart was wanting to take over in this little country, and this other person who represented this faction overthrew them. No, it's the CIA behind it. That's what you do. You fund them and train them, and old stuff all through Latin America too. Bernays did it. Ed Bernays, as you know, who worked with quite a few different presidents and governments in the US. And one of his biggest clients for public relations, meaning advertising and so on, and was a huge, huge company, American Fruit Company, and he in Latin America. Eventually, the country was so poor, because they were run and ruled by external forces, and mainly based in the US. They were so poor that they wanted someone of their own as president, so they elected a guy who immediately wanted to have more money from their labor and their work and their land and their orchards and all that, to go to the people themselves. And that was just not on with Bernays and the companies that he represented. So he formed a film organized, like Path News, that were shown in the movie houses before TV, But he formed a company, and they churned out these videos that they purport to be news, you see, of how bad it was in different Latin American countries, especially this country, and how they were definitely going communist and yada yada yada, and horrible, how horrible it was, to get public opinion built up in preparation for invading them. And then he did get the US, an agreement with the president at the time, to invade the country. They overthrew the leader and installed the old regime again. And the American Fruit Company was all back to happiness and high profits and so on. And a good documentary they made years ago, but it even showed you Richard Nixon, who was against the communists down there too. And they even set up, by the CIA, they set up a fake altar in this the ex-president, the one they overthrew, in his home and in the Presidio, basically, their own palace, if you like, or house, an altar dedicated to communism. It was all set up just for the media, again, with Bernay. Just quite amazing propaganda. Must be true, you know, it was in a movie house, and today it must be true, it was on TV. Just too simple, too easy, isn't it? One documentary was awfully good. I've seen it years ago too, and again recently, and it did go through how, I think it was called The Men Who Make Us Spend. The Men Who Make Us Spend, I think. They go through how the history of the big pharma companies. And one guy back in the 50s maybe, could be in the 40s or 50s, said that the problem with pharmacology is that only sick people need medicine. And he says it's a shame we can't train the people, basically, to use medicine all the time, even when they don't need it. Well, they've come up with many ideas of to make it so, just that so. And they come up with a lot of things which really don't exist. And many fudged studies, of course, come down to say, oh, you really need this because your cholesterol's up or whatever it happens to be. And some of these documentaries go through this whole process, and very well done, and they stick to the facts and the data that's out there to support their claims and so on. But what I'm saying is that that's how you spend as well. It's through fear. It's through fear. Without fear, you won't spend your money on the stuff that they want you to spend it on, which is their business. And so you must always create fear. Make them spend it, and they'll hope that they'll survive anything that comes down the pike. It's the same thing too with the constant threat of war. Then folk could be sold fallout shelters, you name it, they'll buy it, because they get really wrapped up in it too. And there's many organizations out there that use various means of propaganda to make you buy everything under the sun, including the kitchen sink. And a sustainable version, of course. But what I'm saying is, everything out there in the area, especially of media and electronics, is geared towards shaping you into something other than an individual, thinking, independent being. That's the enemy of those who want to sell you things. They must shape you into a different kind of product. And that's what you are, your product. Bernays, again, who's often given the title of the father of this kind of indoctrinative propaganda and advertising, wrongly too, although he was a big player in it as well. I mean, he was well trained in it. It existed before him, long before him. But he was trained in how people really, really work in crowds and so on. The mass character, in other words. And he was a nephew of Sigmund Freud. And Freud was also into the subconscious idea that most folk work on almost unconscious impulses and emotions that are just sitting out in the fringe or somewhere outside the realms of consciousness. So if you understood them, you could make them want something, make them buy something, make them do something. And to an extent, they're quite right in that way too. Again, the simplest way is fear, of course, but also you can make them want things if you attach the product with even sex, anything which is a primal force, basically, and of course reproduction is definitely one of them. So you attach so many products with sex, and it changes it from being a simple whatever it is to a different kind of product altogether. that's why it works so well. That's also why they show you so many ads for food or chocolates or ice cream, again with a quite dishy looking female sitting in a comfortable place, almost purring, like, you know, and that's how you buy stuff, and it's all attached to something else. But it's the same thing too with primal fear of survival and death, fight or flight. And you can turn, you can switch them on. So many industries are left, actually. We're all involved in making things for survival, even chintzy things like fast erecting tents and things that won't last very long, actually. But anyway, what I'm getting at too is that everything out there, especially in the realms of media, are to do with altering your opinion of things, altering your perception on pretty well everything, and using you as a tool for either buying a product or influencing other people for a political campaign, things like that. Sides, always creating sides, so many sides on everything, that you'll lose yourself in the process. Once you start losing yourself, it's easy to see other people who've lost themselves. They can't stop talking about their favorite politician or whatever. I don't care if it's left or right, it's all the same to me, because it's all the same game. Politics is a game. Bernays talked about this. It's funny, I heard a guy talking on the radio last week, my old talks on Bernays, and but Bernays talked about how to set up front companies or fronts for your companies, your private companies, to give credence to your company, especially for some expert type of system, where you need experts that would really, like the snake oil salesman you see in the old movies, doing really good snake oil parts of how to sell their elixirs and so on, or battery acid in the booze, like the Bronfmans did at one point, to get when they leached the booze out of the casks from Seagram's. But again, that was snake oil. You know, used by quacks and so on, and medicine is. And it's interesting to see the same techniques set up, because Bernays said, he says, he says you can always get a little front, a little office somewhere. It could be almost the size of a closet. It didn't make any difference. You give it a fancy title, American Society of blah blah blah, and then you put up a letterhead, get it drafted up and so on, and printed and cards and all. And then you put up bits of news, propaganda pieces in newspapers, and you've got four or five different names for doctors or specialists and whatever that never have to appear anywhere. They're paid just to have their name on the letterhead. They get a stipend every month or whatever. And now it sounds very impressive, doesn't it? The American Institute for blah, blah, blah. With experts and top experts in the field of blah, blah, blah. And that's how things really go along. And we hear this all, and because we keep hearing names and terms like that, these names of organized, we say, my God, well, that's the FDA, the Federal Drug Agency. Oh, wow. And then you've got all kinds of different institutions. And every country's got the same groups, actually. They all work with each other in other countries. But they're private agencies, really. Set up that way. Reality is full of scams like you wouldn't believe. That's all we live in, is scams. And what's even more astonishing is the amount of people, and this is why it works so well, professors and experts of all kinds. Again, going back to Bertrand Russell, who said we're creating a world where people will be taught to believe in nobody except experts. So that eventually when experts come on the media and tell the people something, they will believe it implicitly without thinking. And that's all they have to do is say expert. And that's happened. It's all conology, pure cons. Most of these crowds that are like flash mobs, and flash mob being something that the defense departments talked about years ago, when they projected their future scenarios
to do with fortune telling, because they're actually into that. How will different things happen in the future for defense, etc.? And flash mobs could be created so quickly with iPhones, etc., instant communication, and the people would simply react without thinking and join the crowd that was going to protest whatever it happened to be. And people don't behave rationally in a crowd. It's easy to whip them up into a frenzy. It's even easy to get them to attack people, in fact, where individually they'd never even think of it. Never mind that the reasons that they're doing it at the time, they would never even have those reasons on their own. Most of the reasons you're given to simply react are given to you by above, by professionals who understand the buttons to push. Bernays talks about this too, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, who came from a long line, basically, of people who studied human nature. They knew how to stimulate people to buy things and so on, to motivate them. And when you understand that, you realize that there are many things which motivate people, subconscious desires, etc., to actually purchase things to make them feel better. Well, it's the same thing with making people dissatisfied with things too. You press the right buttons and away they go. I always say that if you see a crowd on one side and a crowd on the other, and they've both got signs for you to join them, try to find a path out of there and get out very, very quickly. Because if you're in a crowd, you're going to be used. There's no doubt about it. None at all.
Facts don't matter anymore. We're given propaganda, and perceptions are always distorted by design, by professionals who understand the techniques of controlling the mind of the masses. I've mentioned Bernays so many times, people should read his books. I've got the links too to the videos where you can listen to his daughter and others talk about him. The man hated the masses. Why did he hate them? Because, remember, he also was a nephew of Freud. These guys were sent out to alter the perceptions of the planet, all of these guys that were related to Freud. And Bernays literally altered the culture in America into a commercialized process by understanding the techniques of mind control, you might say, by titillating the senses, you could also say, suppressed desires. But even his daughter says the man hated the masses because they were so easily manipulated. He came to despise them because it was so easy to watch millions of people buy the things and do the things and behave the way that you told them to.
Now, you see, we've been brainwashed for so long, and this is vital to understand. Through countless ways, through Bernays and ideas of corporations that he did the PR propaganda work for and things like that, it escalated from there through fiction mainly and television programs. Mainly aimed, I know in Britain it was aimed mainly at the women through soaps like Dr. Kildare and things like that. And they were thinking, what a wonderful young man, you know. He's a good looking young man, oh, what wonderful, and they're all swooning and all that. And this guy he didn't sleep. Not only didn't he eat because he worried about his patients that much. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe how dedicated this guy was. He wasn't in it for the money, you see. And he knew that his patients off by who they were, everything about them. And they were like personal friends, as just instant friendship. But he couldn't sleep when he worried. And in the middle of the night sometimes, voila, it would just hit him, you know, and wow, there's the answer to that problem. And all the women would swoon and say, what a dedicated young man. They'd all want to be hitched to this guy, you see. And that really did start the ball rolling for millions of people across the world watching these soaps. And then they got into Emergency Ward 10, you see, another fictional thing. And there's the emergency staff. But again, now you go into the personal lives of them. They were just ordinary people too, with ordinary problems. And amongst all their ordinary problems, you had all the politically correct agendas, like what do you do in a promiscuous society and things like that. So, and how is it? How do you manage any problem, et cetera, et cetera? And that's how you're brainwashed. But again, this hospital, you'd all want to be in it.
because everybody in there who worked there, they didn't sleep. These people who don't sleep, like Kildare and all the rest, they never have bags under their eyes or anything. They never start making mistakes and spilling their coffee because they're half sleeping. No, these people are on the ball. I guess dedication just makes you so alert and well. Right? Maybe that's the key to health, is to love people so much that you're not there for a paycheck, is to help them. And I was thinking about the control of the system. The most would even think about. Don't forget, with the system we're living in, you've got massive, massive debt incurred by everybody, encouraged by everybody. They teach them in school how to use credit cards and borrow money and so on. Don't forget, one time that was called usury. It was looked upon as a curse, where folk lost even small holdings down through centuries and centuries across the world. Don't forget, going back into the past, people who lent money out by their own laws could take your offspring if you couldn't afford to pay as slaves. And how glibly we take it all today. Oh, it's just so easy, Bob. It's easy payments. You borrow a couple of $1,000 on a credit card and they'll tell you you pay the smallest amount back, and it'll take you maybe 20 years to pay it back or more. And by that time, you've paid maybe that $2,000 over many times, even 20 times. And you pay it off with a minimum amount. What a con this is, eh? And obviously it's the poorer folk that's going to use it that way. But everybody's keeping up with the Joneses. And you're promoted, the whole culture promotes that. Everything visual is run by advertising, whether it's television or internet or whatever it happens to be. And there it goes, bang, 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 bye, 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 have all that, be happy, buy all this. Keep up with the Joneses. But don't forget, though, that everything today is run this way. If you buy a car, I know people who've bought new cars in the past few years and had an awful time trying to buy a car straight out, paid in full, because the car companies now, the outlets, are run by the guys who lend the money. They can own chains of them, and they want you to take on loans from them. Because a car worth in Canada maybe 40,000 plus their other taxes, you'll end up maybe being 60,000 before you, or even more before you pay it off. And most folk don't pay it off. They simply trade it into a new one before it's paid off, and they try and work out, juggle the payments that way. Just like houses, think about it. But yeah, it's a hard, everybody wants you to buy the things, pay it up from their lenders, you see. The whole world's run this way. Our countries are run this way. The governments run to them too, to borrow. And we're taught it's all normal. We're all slaves, you know. And then every convenience store or any supermarket, whatever, do you have a convenience card? No. Do you have a loyalty card? No. Oh, you have to pay extra for the same goods then, you see. You're penalised. You're penalised if you want to just pay without taking on their credit card type thing. That takes all your data and everything you're buying every month or whatever it be. And they keep even watch what your diet is. It all goes into your banks for agencies and your governments and so on. But you can get a discount, eh? That's the mousetrap if you just take this. That's what they tell you. And then they train the people too. You'll see them at checkout counters. Probably the same in the US, but in Canada they do it. They've trained folk. You'll hear them in front of you asking for the data from older folk who are pensioners for their convenience. Oh, you know, you get a loyalty, you get a discount. If you come in every Thursday, you get a discount. So they train them that everybody then you come in Thursdays, you see. What was it Bernays said? Bernays, the big marketing so-called genius. He wasn't a genius. He learned from a long lineage of people who studied people intensely, believe you me. But Bernays, he even worked for about five different governments in succession, maybe more, as an advisor on mass manipulation using psychology for behavior modification of the general population. And he said to big organizations that produced goods like automobiles and fridges and everything else, don't improve your product to sell the improvements and how good it is or how long it's going to last, etc. He says, you sell them a fantasy, but you change the consumer to suit your product.
everybody's now a slave, borrowing money all the time from the lenders. Think about it. Even older cars now, it's the same thing. They're all willing to give you loans, you know. Well, we can sign you up here and it's only so much interest, blah, blah, blah. And most folk think it's normal now. And their houses are the same. Why do you think houses are so incredibly, like half a million, three quarters of a million for a little townhouse somewhere? What? Why is it? Because the big bankers will give you easy loans, working in cahoots with those who set the big prices, big corporations and chains of them. Governments love it because they get a higher tax back from the homeowners every month. Local governments love it too. And so they can stuff their pocket. Everybody lives off the public. We are the product, really. Persuasion is a rather perfected technique, folks. And of course, Bernays was related to Freud, the Freud family. It's amazing too, because the same descendants of the Freud family are in politics in Britain for years. And Bernays too, the descendant of Bernays, is a spin master in Britain, I think for the different Labour, I was Labour Party, maybe other parties too. But again, it's astonishing. The same people down through history do that kind of thing, and they get awfully well paid for it. And they help subvert different countries through deceptions that are put across as being very plausible at the time through different techniques. So you can be persuaded to do anything at all if the right techniques are used. So again, don't forget that conspiracies happen all the time. All the time. In fact, the elites who are gangsters at the top, I don't care if it's even with a whole class of scientists at the top that work with, they're all gangsters filling their pockets as best they can for themselves as they subvert the systems for everybody else. And if you ever believe you're going to get some kind of happy, equal utopia, well, there's no hope for you. It doesn't happen. You're always deceived. Many, many groups who are in it are bashing the ordinary people. They don't know that they're getting the program to do it by those at the top. Everybody's being used, group after group after group. And again, getting back to what I talked about years ago, with the groups being trained in this kind of thing in other countries on behalf of global agendas, well, actually globalists themselves. And the big foundations that fund them and train them. They talked about the soft power. Soft power is all kinds of organizations which either exist already, which you can take over and use a la Bernays, because he talked about that technique, or else creating new ones and make them very appealing until people flood into them. But you make sure you've already selected leaders at the top who will never tell the followers that the followers are going to get used to demonstrate against or for, or whatever it happens to be, to get things passed through government. All countries are using this now in the West. And it's called soft power. That's what the color revolutions are. And they have the soft power before they use revolution, which is to follow up. So you have soft power revolution, which builds up the hope, enough angst amongst the people and get the people to split into two, like a civil war type thing. And they hope that those in power will simply throw up their arms and run out the country and leave it so that the West can, or whoever's running the West at that time, can then put their own people in place and they can get the oil or whatever it happens to be that they're after. But the followers never realize. They never know. It's easy to get people, you know, revved up emotionally about things. The techniques are perfect on how to motivate people through emotion into believing something. And people want to. They even use the social cohesion type techniques, because where people want to belong to something, either a group, a nation, an ethnic group, a race, if they want to call it that, or whatever they want to call it themselves. They want to belong to something in order to have that feel. Otherwise, you're lost and drifting. That's what they feel, you see. So, and again, too, for those who are completely lost
and drifting. On the edges and the fringes, they pull them in too, and they become the avant-garde, and they're the ones who throw the bottles and fire bombs and things like that. So it's interesting to this is real stuff, and billions of your dollars are used every year across the world to foment and train the leaders in these big movements. This is not made make-believe here. This is real stuff. You got to go back to Bernays. Mr. Bernays, who was the nephew of Sigmund Freud, who were both involved in the same movement, actually. And as a movement that really planned to change the world and eventually dominate the psyche of the people. Bernays was going to do it through making them buy things which big corporations wanted them to buy. At one time, for instance, Bernays did work for companies that would have to put out their different products, automobiles or whatever, or even lawnmowers, and tell you why you should buy this. And the old ads are fantastic when you look at them, really, because the people come on pretty somber. There was no crazy, zany stuff. Here's the product. Here's a guy looking very respectable, and he would tell you why you should buy this product. And by that, he would go into the work that was put into it, and the materials, etc., and so on. And the word got around very quickly amongst people in those days as to, well, that's a good product, I've got one of them, blah, blah, blah. It would travel so quickly, that kind of, and that's how they sold things. And they made good profits, the companies made good profits. But when Bernays got involved in it, he says, rather than make good products to suit the people, alter the people to suit your product. And that's when they started selling you fantasies with inferior junk used in whatever it was they were selling you. And they sold you the fantasies until a toothbrush and toothpaste gives you an orgasm and everybody's smiling and happy. Wow, ooh. And so use sex for everything. And as they're doing that and selling you fantasies, right down to the present day, look at how the vehicles and everything else have gone down to junk. Massive profits to sell everything. Massive profits. Like never before. Because everything that used to be made of metal is pretty well made of plastic now. And we accept that, so we've been changed to suit the product. Isn't that amazing? So you are the collateral, as I say. You are the product at the same time, because you're getting remade all the time for new images, and you are getting trained to suit the product. It's so fascinating for me to stand back and remember the talks I gave on Bernays many years ago on propaganda that he came out with, and but also his public relations, ideas, propaganda for selling things, you know. PR companies and advertising companies, because he did say that to governments as well. He worked, remember, with about five different administrations, maybe more, during his lifetime, including the military, propaganda techniques for wars and all that, and huge corporations as well. But he said eventually, why try to convince the public to buy this car because, as you say, it's better, it's a few inches longer than the previous one? This is all on record. They even have old videos of it, of the woman going in to buy the new car, and she actually says that, oh, this is longer than the last one or bigger than the last one. All this sexual innuendo and so on. Because don't forget that Bernays was a nephew of Sigmund Freud, and it's much more to all this than you think, believe you me. Much more. It wasn't just a couple of people with a psychiatrist was invented to change the world and change all of you in it. You know? And it completely interlocks with the idea of the front organization called communism to restructure and control society and destroy family units and everything else. But getting back to Bernays, he says, rather than try to get, because at one time, you see, manufacturers had to make good products before the age of of disposable items really got going. Built-in obsolescence, as I like to call it now. And the classic one is the light bulbs. There's a good documentary put out there about the history of light bulbs, how the lifetime got shorter and shorter with the cartel getting together, all the producers, and agreeing to do the same, make them last only the same amount of time, make it shorter all the time. Anyway, that's an example of that. But Bernays said, rather than convince, make good products every year and tell them why they should buy your lawnmower or whatever, he says, alter the society, the consumer, to suit your product. Now, that ties exactly right in with the fourth industrial revolution, the new system that you're actually in already, and it's going to accelerate at one heck of a speed with the COVID idea. COVID's part of it, where you're getting retrained to stop thinking for yourselves, to stop being logical, to simply start obeying. And at the moment, it's through terror and fear, which is a good way to do it. But that's the technique that's being used. And remember what Bernays said, Edward Bernays, who helped to put it, actually get the US into World War One, and he put a book out with some of his co-conspirators afterwards. They were paid to try to get a way to get Americans to go along with World War One, and they got in for the last year or so of the war. And then they boasted about it. They put a book out to boast how they did it, because Bernays was one of the early marketers, marketing strategy, kind of like Theresa May, for those who don't know it. That's her expertise, is in convincing people to do things and accept things that perhaps they shouldn't. And she's actually belongs to the Livery Association of, it's like a Masonic group in the City of London for marketers. She's the head of it. Anyway, that's a by-the-by thing. So anyway, here you have Bernays, which he said, he says, don't try to go door-to-door to get folks to sign things and to create something new. Go for existing organizations, go for the top, even churches, he says, and see them get their flock to follow them and on a particular thing. And that's what they do. So I'm not surprised all the big ones are on board with it. And there'll be, money will change hands, folks. Money will always change hands.
What it really is the fact that women like safety and they like to be reassured. And Adolf Hitler said that too in his own book. He said that women are our main targets of socialist propaganda, he said, because women want safety, security for their children and themselves and their family and food and so on. And therefore we must go over the heads of the husbands. No, there aren't any husbands today, I don't think. But anyway, back in his day there were. And the women will come to us, he says. The children then follow the mother and therefore must follow the man. That's how it worked. And he was only quoting one of the ancient Roman emperors who said the same thing. So they've always known this technique does work.
See, marketing is an incredible science, very old too, and taught even throughout the 1800s and long before, I'm sure, by merchants to merchants on how to sell their wares. It developed into office towers eventually, like Madison Avenue. And they deal with the mind of the general public. Bernays was famous for understanding, and he was taught this stuff, understanding the populace, what makes them tick, what makes them purchase, what motivates them. And he used it for the politicians as well as for the private companies that wanted to sell things. He was often in to see the president of the U.S. All through his life on different presidents and find ways of even promoting wars and stuff like that. Very good at it. And he had utter contempt, according to his daughter, for the general population, for the masses. You know, he had a total contempt. And I understand why, because you can imagine if you want to get women wearing miniskirts and smoking cigarettes in the 1920s, and you do your promotions by getting society, young females in society to dress that way and smoke in public and announce it, publicity, get it through all the cinemas of the day. And then you see that the population copying it just like that. Eventually you become disdainful of the public as if they're no ideas for their own. And they don't have any ideas for themselves. They emulate what they see and what they think the wealthier people are doing and wearing and speaking about or reading or whatever. That's what they emulate. So it's an old science, but it's been used, as I say, really all through Bernays' lifetime, right up to the present time, by governments to a great extent. Spent a lot of money on marketing strategies to convince the public of this or that or whatever. And remember, in marketing, facts don't count. They spew out as false facts. They spew them out, and they'll stick to that regardless of the cost, because they know the propaganda with mass marketing will overcome logic and rationale eventually. If you just keep at it long enough, it overcomes reason.
But the public don't know, most of them. And you have to forget that too, forget them to an extent, because it's not the general public you're going after. Most of the public that sit and watch TV every day were gone before all this started. They'll always take the... I gave talks on this from studies, from the big boys themselves. They're always studying us. And they admitted years ago that they had no problem with the general population and that the percentage is down pretty accurately, who would obey if anything happened and so on, and how to even get the public that were dithering on the edges of something to just tip over onto the side that they wanted you to go to, and how to do it according to the profiles that you have and all the rest of it, and how to feed stuff to you that you think was coming from real people, etc., and so, you know, like independent people. This is total warfare. This is the stuff that Snowden talked about, and before him you had Assange, who's still locked up, because there's no way they're going to allow, they ever wanted the internet to give freedoms to the public. Do you know how hard it would be for them in their technocratic dreams just to order folk around when folk really believed that freedom of speech? It wouldn't be too easy. So you must unify opinion, standard, you make it all standardized opinions, you see. And that you create consent to be ruled. And I went through the talks years ago on the creation of consent. And how Bernays came out with it too, and then the Frankfurt School and different groups came out with it. And how and it's all used today in the higher echelons of governance, as they call it. And it's taught in university how you manufacture consent. You're all going to die. You're going to die. And they aim it at different genders too. And they have other ones aimed at children, so that even the children will nag their parents into complying and go along with things, or even turn become snitches against their parents, just like the communists did with the Young Communist League, and the Hitler Youth too used them. That always happens when you're training a new generation to grow up to be ultra fascist or fascistic, as they call it. But facts don't really matter when it comes to the people. And getting back to this one here, do you remember, again, that little documentaries, news clips about the soldiers in Iraq cussing at the Arabs over there who didn't want democracy because it was Iraqi freedom, remember? We didn't invade them. We went in to bring them freedom. Don't see it this way. See it this way. Eh? So soldiers going in with weaponry and all the rest of it and blowing things up and shooting folk are just there to make them free. And you saw, because it was such a... Again, the people who get the most simplistic propaganda are always the troops. It's simpler the better. If you make it more complicated, they'll just switch off. Make it simple and they'll stick with it. This is my experience. This is what they found.
I've gone over Bernays Live many times, Edward Bernays, who really is a misnomer in a sense. He was given a wrong title. He's said to be the father, really, the father of modern marketing, but he wasn't at all. He was only one of many people who had learned the arts through previous generations for over thousands of years, through people who were merchants at one time, who studied the populations, how to sell things to different populations, because people have different buying habits, cultural habits, etc., so that they always study their target, you see. Ancient techniques, of course. even find this in stories about Buddha, where at one time he had to earn some money, and he came out of his jungle retreats, and being a Brahmin, he knew, it said he knew how to understand, how to sell things to the public. He knew how their minds worked, in other words. And you'll find this with P.T. Barnum as well, the big circus master, who pulled fantastic scams and outrageous scams, you would say. And he was a master in promoting himself. That's a technique they use as well. In fact, P.T. Barnum understood perfectly well, which tells you there was definitely an operating system of those who knew the arts and sciences of propaganda and marketing and mass mind control, you might say. But P.T. Barnum would often sit, before he went into a city with his circus acts, etc., he'd sit and he'd write to the editor under different names, letters for himself and many against himself, because he said, no news is bad news, it's all good news when they're talking about you. So he would stir up the controversy about himself, and folk don't realize they're being fooled by the same guy. Is appearing under different names for Barnum and against Barnum. And everybody got talking about it. Oh, well, that person who talked with Barnum, he was quite right, I agree with that guy. And this is how simple it is to manage the minds of the public. It's very easy to do. And once you get emotion going up, it's even better. You'll never think clearly and logically when it's an emotive subject, deliberately hyped up. You have to stand back, almost like an alien, and observe it all going on and see how it affects people's and how they respond to things. It's a fantastic art. Governments use it because they all use marketing companies big time. And those who, even the war makers use it all the time for propaganda purposes, emotive topics are great for getting war started. We're going in there to help so-and-so or the Iraqis are killing babies in Kuwait and throwing them out of windows. And that was all put out at the time and folk believed it. Standard stuff. World War One, it was the Germans were bayoneting babies with the big bayonets on the end of their rifles. And that was put out there too.
Again, you get these fake polls. It's like once again, you have to go back to the so-called father of propaganda. He wasn't really the father of marketing, really. Edward Bernays, he understood that people are motivated by subconscious things, even desires and so on. And you could titillate them by tickling the desires and make them do certain things. Or you could terrify them through fear, very primitive parts of the brain and so on, and to compliance and things. It's all marketing strategies and to persuade folk to comply. But another part of it too for compliance was to create polls and fake polls, because they know through the herd instinct of people, a lot of folk literally, oh well, you know, I've 70% said that's okay, maybe I should join them. And I've actually had people say to me that they voted for Pierre Trudeau, the daddy of the present one, and even though they knew he had been communist. And they said, yeah, but you know, I realized, I said, one of them says to me, I realized that that he was winning during the election, and I thought I'd just join the winners because they gave him statistics. That's how dumb it was. Some folk are like that. Well, if most folk go that way, I should go that way too. You know? So that's what the polls are for, to convince you. Well, maybe you, because you'd see, Mike, I couldn't believe that 72% of Canadians support mandatory coronavirus vaccine. I never thought of that. Well, I'm really surprised. I better jump on the bandwagon and go along with them, eh? Yeah, prove it. Yeah, prove it all. Well, that won't happen. Because fake news is allowed when it's promoting the noble lie for the noble cause. You understand? That's permitted, you see. And they have no problem with lying about everything today. Everything's deception, from Bernays and his techniques of deception, and used people's own natural instincts against them. Again, that's all from Weishaupt all that time ago. Weishaupt was the first one to use the natural drives, sexual drives and everything, against the people themselves. For those who didn't know it, the old Masonic lodges used to have brothels attached to them. It wasn't just a hellfire club. Always get the passions, lose control of the passions, and you lose your reason and your logic.
Then you're under someone else's control. That's how it's done. Look at today. And as you're under all that nonsense and control, then they come out with all the religion, the new religions, where you can see what's obviously in front of you, but you better give the fake identification or you're in trouble. Dangerous times. When you're told and ordered to be insane. To be insane, that's the only word for it. From myself, Alan Ward, it's good night to me, your God or your gods go with you.